Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, we are back this week. Hopefully everything will work out the way it should. Of course, I won't know until somebody comes in the chat room, which I have not opened up yet. Well, I'd like to know why. Well, I am...
If you love them...
Okay, there we go. Now, my chat room is open. I'm having a few problems with my computer tonight, but hopefully things will work out. Hopefully my microphone is working, and hopefully I've got some things going. My computer keeps locking up, which is not something I like to have happen, but I am going to have to shut down some things, which I've got open, and see if I can get things to work a little bit better. Yeah, that seems to be working. So we are back on the air with the news that the lamestream lying liberal media just doesn't want to give you. Many of us, and that includes yours truly, have had the media and social media take us down for things that we said during the beginning of the plandemic, from things about masks and how they didn't work to the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. We were taken down off of places like YouTube and Facebook for stating science instead of the false narrative of the left. And it's still happening. So when we were taken down off of these so-called entities, we found other ways to get our message of science rules out. And we have sat and watched while science finally caught up and the media finally started to admit that what we were taken off of social platforms for and being for because the left was saying it was wrong, the left is now saying, oh, great, that stuff is actually true. We can't give credit to Trump. We can't give credit to the conservatives who were saying this all along, but we can give credit to ourselves for finally admitting, yes, this stuff is actually true. Yet we were still being punished for being right. I am still off of YouTube, and no matter what I say or how right I was proven, I will still stay off of YouTube because they won't even give me the chance to figure out a new way to get on there. I've tried different emails. I've tried different locations. I've tried different IP addresses, and they always seem to find out who I am, and I'm off again. Vaccines is the latest thing that many of us were taken off the air for, saying that they didn't work. It's now coming out that they didn't. Voila. Just like we all said. Yet the condemnation of us for being right is still there, while they turn around and tell the world we were right without telling us we were right continues. Almost 2 weeks ago now, Newsmax, the fourth largest news outlet in America, was and arguably one of the fastest growing, was taken down in a blatant attempt at censorship by DirecTV and AT&T, while calls for deplatforming them by canceling them has come true. Tens of thousands of people have already canceled their DirecTV subscriptions, much to the chagrin of DirecTV, and yet Newsmax remains off the air for over 13 million people. My friends, if you have an LG TV, which I do, you can still get Newsmax. And for that matter, here in Albuquerque, you can get One America News, too, without a subscription or having to pay for it. They both come over the air free of charge to you if you have a newer LG TV that is loaded with channels. And I'm sure the LG TV is not the only one that has this feature of being loaded with channels. They both come So for me, DirecTV's ploy to shut down conservative voices doesn't bother me and my wife much at all because we still get them. By the way, we gave up DirecTV years ago because it cost too much for the stuff we wanted, and we went to over-the-air stuff that comes in free. Right now, for free, we get more channels than I ever got from DirecTV, who charged me over $150 a month for what I was given. It is right that they are losing out here, because what they give is not worth what they charge. And what they charge is a ridiculous amount for what they give. So that is what is going on now. And now my computer is, hello, bringing it, boy. Glad to see you there. Hopefully, I can get this show going. But there it goes. It's going to let me move my cursor over to my, well, maybe not. It stopped again. But we, oh, goodness. I guess the FBI or somebody is trying to get to my computer, so I can't do anything that I want here. But thank you for joining the show, and we will be right back.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he can...
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and thought Mexicans raped us and murdered. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? So I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay. Within a week, of the announced departure of White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain, President Joe Biden said Thursday top economic advisor Brian Deese is on his way out too. Seems like they're fleeing his administration. Biden credited Deese, director of National Economic Council, with helping craft major pieces of legislation that have defined the 46th president's time in office to date, which, as far as I can see, there isn't anything good to be defined. But Brian's work was critical to the passage of the most significant economic agenda in generations, according to what is being said here. This is what Biden said. The American Rescue Plan, which brought our economy back from the brink. The bipartisan infrastructure law and the most significant investment on our nature's infrastructure in generations. The president also praised Deese for his involvement in the CHIPS and Science Act. You know, and of course, Democrats don't believe in science, so this is kind of a misnomer in the first place. But one of the things that Biden is now trying to tell us is that in his administration, he has created more jobs than any president in history. Well, he hasn't. If you want to look at it, Bill Clinton did. But Biden's not even in that list of the ones who have done the most. Bill Clinton did, FDR did, and several others. But Biden's not even in this. But Biden is claiming that he has added so many jobs, more jobs than has ever been done before to the economy. Well, here's what he is not saying. In the time that he has been president, he has destroyed more jobs than he has created. The jobs that have been created have been more or less a godsend to the economy. But if you take the jobs that he lost because of his COVID policies and the jobs that we all lost because of his COVID policies, add the jobs that he is now touting that he has created since he's become president, he's still in the negative. There are still fewer jobs now than there were when he became president. So how can he be the president that gives us more jobs than any other president ever has? He hasn't. He's destroyed more jobs than any president has, most likely, but he has not created more jobs than any president. And if you look at it and you search that, Bill Clinton is the one who added more jobs than any president. The New York Times noted, it's like bringing a boy in the chat room, says, Biden says he is the most transparent president ever. Well, he's so transparent that if you had to look through his policies to see what was coming at you, you'd never see it because there is no transparency there. But the New York Times noted that economists have attributed the 40-year high spike in inflation the U.S. experienced under Biden to the passage of the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan in March of 2021. And then they had to go and add the $1.7 trillion to that afterwards. And since the Republicans have taken over, one of the things that, you know, that happened when they were having, when the Republicans were having this fight over who was going to become the Speaker of the House, Democrats and the media and everybody else, including a lot of the Republicans, were saying, this is bad. This is not something that is good. There is more damage being done to the government because of this fighting and infighting than if they just let McCarthy be the Speaker. Well, if you look back to the original Congress, they fought like cats and dogs when it came to trying to pass legislation and do things that were supposedly that they wanted to do to this country. They fought like cats and dogs. This latest fighting in the House to get McCarthy as the speaker was nothing compared to what they did. Continental Congress got together. And essentially, in what happened with McCarthy, the republic and the democracy that America has in the Constitutional Republic actually worked. Because in the process of getting McCarthy for the Speaker of the House, they got a lot of concessions that he now has to hold true to, because if he doesn't, they can get rid of him easily. And the Democrats are saying, well, they're taking his power away because they've made it so he can't do the right things without being forced out of office. Well, the problem with that kind of thinking is from the beginning, that was part of our Congress until Obama came along and he got rid of that. Republicans just got it back. With another one of the concessions that happened before he became the Speaker of the House was that no more omnibus bills can be passed through the House. If the Democrats want a bill, it has to be a specific bill with no pork added to it, nothing else, just what the bill is supposed to have in it. And that is it. That is a good thing. And yet we still have people like Biden telling us he is the most transparent president ever. Oh, he's transparent, all right. He wants us to believe that he's doing everything that he can for America. But what's actually going on is he's doing everything he can to destroy America. He wants to get rid of the Constitution. He wants to get rid of our laws. And here we are fighting over these stupid little things that are going on when what should have happened, happened. Concessions were made to make McCarthy Speaker of the House. And he knows without a doubt that he has to follow through with these things, because if he doesn't, those 20 that were against him in the first place will go back against him. And all they need is one person say he needs to go. And a vote will have to be pushed. And if the vote doesn't say, okay, he's gone, there's still going to be people who's going to say, yes, he is. And they're going to have to go through this all over again. So he knows that he's being held to the fire. He knows that he needs to do the right thing. So far, he is. But Biden's not. It says here, when Biden became president in 2021, January, the economy was well on its way to recovery. The unemployment rate had dropped from a pandemic high of 14.7% in April of 2020 to 6.3%. And it says that it's 3.5%. Now, there's no freaking way that it's 3.5%. In a February 2021 opinion piece for the Washington Post, former Clinton Treasury Secretary Larry Summers wrote that passing the American Rescue Plan would set off inflationary pressures of a kind we have not seen in a generation, with consequences for the value of the dollar and the financial stability. We've seen that happening. After it passed, Summers called it the least responsible macroeconomic policy we've had in the last 40 years. So, is Biden the most corrupt president in history? Yeah, I think he is. Further, former Obama administration Treasury Department official Stephen Ratner, in a November 2021 article for The Times, identified the American Rescue Plan as the original sin leading to a high inflation rate, which spiked at over 9% in June and was 6.5% last month. He and Summers, along with many other economists, worried that shoveling an unprecedented amount of spending into an economy already on the road to recovery would mean too much money chasing too few goods. Deese's predecessor, Larry Kudlow, who served as Donald Trump's director of National Economic Council, argued in May that's exactly what happened. The tax hikes and the environmental restrictions under Biden are suppressing the supply side of the economy. Not enough goods. And the spending increases the demand side of the economy. Too much cash. So if you're going to spend more than you can produce, well, prices have to go up. An obvious solution is to spend less and produce more. Now, here's what happened this last week, for these last weeks. They kept saying, well, because of Biden's policies and because of what's going on, gas prices have come down. Well, at the time they said this, gas here in Albuquerque was like $2.83 a gallon at the cheapest. Now it's back up to $3.30, but we're not hearing nothing about why it's going back up. We all knew it was going to, because all the things that Biden was doing to bring it down, taking oil out of the Strategic Oil Command supply, which is now lower than it has been in decades, was just a temporary fix. And that temporary fix brought the oil prices down, but now they're back up. And actually, the oil prices are not that high, or the price of oil is really not as high as it was when oil prices started going up the first time. I think right now it's just a little over $100 a barrel. But things are happening. It's like Bringing It Boy says, eggs going up. Yes, eggs are going up. This whole thing with this eggplant in Georgia this last week with that fire that destroyed it, that's going to make the price of eggs go way up. He's not going to talk about that one. Other food processing plants have caught on fire this week, but the media is silent about that. They're silent about everything that they're doing, and yet they're telling us that everything is hunky-dory, everything is fine. Even the media is starting to question when KJP does her so-called pressers, and the press gets in there and she starts answering questions, they're starting to ask the tough questions. But she will not answer them. She'll say, well, we have to refer you to the White House counsel because I can't answer that. Well, if she can't answer them, why is she there? All she is a talking point, a talking spigot for the White House. And the White House is feeding her these lies, and she's reading them. Even when the media jumps on her and says, no, this isn't right, this isn't what's going on, she says, but this is what the White House is telling me, so it has to be right. She is nothing more than a puppet, just like the rest of the Democrats and a lot of the Republicans in our government right now are nothing more than puppets for what is going on. Right now, Jim Jordan has already signed couple of subpoenas and documents that will send the DOJ after Biden. Now, the DOJ, now that's something that you don't want to, we can't really look at with any kind of relief on this, but now they are starting to get all kinds of pushback on what they have been doing. and bringing it. Boy says, why Georgia is so important. Lately, the election police shootings and now chickens. Yeah, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Gas prices have started going back up again. We're going to start hearing about these before too long. They're pushing these windmills that are all over southern New Mexico, southeastern New Mexico and into Texas. They're all over down there. But now they're trying to push them out into the ocean. Can you see anything that is really going to happen when things start, when if they get these things out there in the ocean? How many species are going to die because of what they have to do to put these things in the ocean so that they stick out over the ocean and have these windmills going out there? What would happen if the wind blows really hard, which it does out there, and it gets these things going so fast that the blades fly everywhere? How easy is it going to be to fix that? And how many fish and how many birds are going to get killed out there for this? They don't care. They do not care. All they want is their agenda. A treaty with Saudi Arabia and the petrodollar. Yep, there you go. They keep pushing that we need to get rid of gas. California has already done a thing where in 2035, they're not going to sell any more anything but electric cars. How many stories do you hear almost daily now of electric cars blowing up or catching fire while sitting in a parking lot with nobody in it? How many stories are you hearing of people who buy a $150,000 electric vehicle, drive it home, and they don't get home because it stops running on them? If they want to do this electric vehicle thing, why not get the bugs out of it first before you start pushing it into mainstream America? But they don't want to do this because they want to get rid of the gasoline engine, which, by the way, this is something else they're not telling you. The gasoline engine right now burns about 95% cleaner than it did in the 1970s. You never hear this in the mainstream media, do you? You never hear this in the lamestream lying media, do you? And now you don't hear it from Newsmax because they've been knocked off the air in over 13 million homes. Kind of makes me wonder just what Biden wants out of this country. I know he wants to destroy it. I know he wants, yeah, he says, so true, I can see my mountains here in California. I remember back in the 70s, you would see all these photos of Los Angeles. On a clear day, the sky would be brown, the sun would shine, but it didn't really put down too much in the lines of shadows and things that you can see. It just became daylight. You couldn't see the mountains. Here in Albuquerque in the 70s, you could see the mountain, but there was this brown haze that went all the way around the city to about 30 degrees up into the sky. That's no longer there. In LA, you can see the blue sky now. But they don't talk about this. They don't talk about how much the atmosphere has been cleaned up since the 70s. That would go against their agenda. And he says back in the 80s, we could not see the mountains because of the smog. Exactly. Now you can. But they will not talk about that. That goes against their agenda. That goes against the agenda that they want to push to get rid of the electric vehicle, because with the electric vehicle, America, the world will be uninhabitable in 20 years. Have you heard that one before? I know back in the 70s, they were telling us that by the time year 2000 came around, Earth would be uninhabitable. There'd be no life on Earth anymore. We're 20 years past that, and things are fine, folks. In Davos, they had this World Economic Forum going over there telling everybody that, oh my gosh, we're destroying this world. The air is so bad, but how did they get there? They got there in their private jets, spewing exhaust everywhere. Their carbon footprint, just to get them to Davos, was worse than any of us in America. And yet they are talking about how we are destroying our ozone layer and how we're destroying our atmosphere and how everything is just so bad that we're going to all die within a few years. What I wish would happen is I wish that all these morons would die and then we could get in a whole new crop of people that would know the truth or who have been raised to know the truth. And it's like bringing it, boy says, the ozone layer has a factor in it so it can repair itself. And we are not destroying this economy, this our environment. We are not. When God put us on earth, he knew what we would be capable of doing. He knew what we would do eventually. He knew all about what pollution would do. He knew all about how things would happen. That's why we have trees. That's why we have plants that turn all this pollution into oxygen again. So what are they trying to do now? I found an article the other day that talked about how many thousands of trees are being destroyed so that they can put up these windmill farms. So they're destroying the plants that give us oxygen so that we can have windmills that will give us electricity, but we won't have oxygen. See how that works? We will be right back after these messages if I can get my computer to do what it should do. Oh my gosh, there it goes. Be right back.
Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
Here on CNN with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNN, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNN at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins. We'll be right back.
podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless. Okay, we are back. The call number is 646-478-5284. From the Daily Caller comes this one. Maryland schools teach speciesism and 13 other forms of oppression during BLM Week of Action. This is what they're teaching our kids, folks. Maryland teachers are educating children on speciesism and other types of oppression this week with a worksheet that the Parents Defending Education, or PDE, found was in a Black Lives Matter lesson plan, according to Fox News. The BLM lesson plan aimed to teach students about diversity and globalism, according to the lesson plan obtained with a PDE on speciesism, one of the 13 other types of oppression listed on the worksheet is oppression against animals, plants and flora, according to the worksheet obtained from Fox News. I understand that we can advocate for the principles of Black Lives Matter is stated as one of the learning objectives in the lesson plan. Now, when it comes to teaching my children, I don't want Black Lives Matter involved in this at all. They are a bunch of morons. They are a bunch of idiots and think that only Black Lives Matter. Folks, all lives matter. And as long as we single out one and leave all the others out, this is about as racist as you can get. But the lesson plan comes as a part of BLM Week of Action, which the school system has been celebrating since 2021. And this is in Maine, I think, Maryland. While passing the measure to approve this annual practice, the school board said, quote, "This is a week intended to highlight, uplift, and affirm the rich history and contributions of the Black community." The resolution stated, the school board also said that the lesson was, quote, "not using the external curriculum put out by the BLM organization," unquote, according to Fox News. The lesson plan indicates that children must know their level of privilege or oppression to understand globalism. Other types of oppression listed on the worksheet include ableism, ageism, racism, sexism. Each type of oppression indicates its variable, non-target groups, and target groups, or the oppressed. Researchers are close to the lesson by thanking their students for being honest and vulnerable in their completion of the worksheet. Now, honest and vulnerable. The key word here is vulnerable. For if students were not vulnerable, they wouldn't be able to teach this crap to any of them, because they would just laugh about it and say, "Ha ha, my parents say that this is wrong and you shouldn't be doing this." But they do it anyway. They're doing it here in New Mexico. Some of the things that I found out from articles in the Pinion Post, which is the New Mexico's conservative thing. They've got yesterday, House committees were the article was about House committees to hear radical abortion election proposals today, which they probably heard them. But the other one that really caught my attention was a satanic temple to open New Mexico facility for religious abortion ritual. This one blew me away. Why we have to have something like this around, but the article says the satanic temple, a non-theistic religious organization, is opening a new facility in New Mexico to kill children in the womb in the name of supposed religious practices to worship Satan. How sick are these people? How sick do we have to be to have a governor and a party here in New Mexico, which is almost in charge of everything now that they jury-rigged the maps and got rid of a bunch of Republicans, says the facility would provide free religious medication abortions rituals bearing the name Samuel Alito's Mom's Satanic Abortion Clinic to target U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, who authored the majority opinion in Dobbs versus Jackson, which overturned Roe versus Wade. You see what they're doing, folks? They're doing everything they can to make all of us the bad guys because Roe versus Wade was overturned. Fox News reported TST Health, the new medical services arm of the non-theistic religious organization, will provide telehealth screenings and appointments to provide abortion bills to patients. These services will be provided free of charge as part of the Satanic Temple's abortion ritual, though patients must still pay for the medications from a pharmacy, which typically costs around $90, according to TST Health website. So the abortion pills are free, but you have to pay $90 to get them. I know that's stupid, but that's what they're doing. The abortion clinic will make itself available for women age 17 or older who are up to 11 weeks pregnant. In 1950, Samuel Alito's mother did not have the options, and look what happened, said Malcolm Jerry, co-founder of the Satanic Temple. Prior to 1973, doctors who performed abortions could lose their licenses and go to jail. Well, what he said about Samuel Alito's mother did not have the options, and look what happened. What happened was Samuel Alito was born. See where they want what they want to get rid of here? Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has ties to other satanic cults, and namely the Temple of Satan, which also performs the abortion ritual sacrifice babies in the womb. The governor has interacted with and follows satanic cult leader Greg Stevens, who goes as Priest Penemu. Our governor is evil, plain and simple. We have to get rid of her. And this article about satanic temples to open a New Mexico facility for religious abortion rituals, they're doing this because they're running out of places that they can go to have this kind of thing done. The southeast part of New Mexico right now is all sanctuary cities and counties. And this is where Lujan Grisham wanted to move these abortion clinics into. She can't do it now because the counties won't allow these things to be built there. And it's growing. We have Albuquerque, which is probably one of the biggest liberal bastions in New Mexico. Right west of us is Rio Rancho. They're putting out a bill now to make themselves a sanctuary city. So you see where our governor is starting to panic, and the panic leads us to satanic temples to open here in New Mexico so that we can have Satanists aborting our babies. How sick is this? My pastor calls her evil. She is. She's the most evil person I have ever known. I never voted for her, and I won't vote for her no matter what happens. But I do pray that she finds God, because she sure as heck hasn't found him yet. But she's sure searching in the wrong places. Sorry, I had to take a drink of my coffee here. One of the things that's going on this week is this Chinese surveillance balloon discovered roaming above U.S. There have been all kinds of things that have been that they have talked about when it comes to this. Rebel News posted a picture of this silver thing in the sky. About 2 months ago, I saw something like that over the skies of Albuquerque. And I never really thought too much about it, because what a bunch of people saw this and called the Air Force, wanted to know what was going on. The Air Force said, oh, it's just a weather balloon. Well, with what's going on now with this high-altitude surveillance balloon belonging to the People's Republic of China, that's been detected by the U.S. government flying over northern states, causing concerns over potential collection of sensitive information. I have to wonder here. We have three military bases here. We have Sandia, which is an Air Force base. We have Kirtland, which is the Army Marines base. Then we have Manzano. Manzano is the top secret base that's farther out and over by the mountain, and that's where all of the nuclear stuff is stored, underneath that mountain. And Bringing It Boy says he's seen one of those balloons. Rebel News was reporting on this, and they wrote down a Chinese surveillance balloon has been discovered roaming above northern states over the past few days, according to the United States government. Now, one of the comments they said was, and this one caught my attention, because essentially they said, with our woke military, they can't even shoot down a balloon. We are fucked. And this is so true. Why, you know, if the government really wanted to make sure that our skies were safe, this thing would have been gone a long time ago, because they would have shot it down, period. And Bringing It Boy says it was odd. It just floated right across the mountains. And they had a cartoon that one of the political cartoonists came out with, and it said they need to fly it down over Texas, because Texans love to target practice. But Bringing a voice says, I want to shoot down one of those plans is stripping our skies. Planes, I don't really, but he says he wants to shoot down one of these things. I would love to, too. It would be awesome to do. I would like to be able to fly my, you know, if my drone didn't have a 400-foot limit to the height that I could fly it, I could fly it high enough to do something, to see something about that and get good pictures of it. But I can't fly it that high. And with the Air Force bases here, there are places that I cannot even fly it, because it'd be inside the military areas. So there are just certain places that I can fly it. Now, I can go to the top of the Sandia Mountains, which is 10,000, I think, 500 feet or something like that, and fly it so high above that mountain, which would get me maybe to 11,000 feet. But that still wouldn't be high enough to see what this thing was or get a good picture of it. But what is bothering the American people is that the Pentagon spokesman, Brigadier General Pat Ryder, said the announcement during Thursday press briefing stated that the U.S. government is tracking a high-altitude surveillance balloon that is over continental United States right now. The U.S. government, to include NORAD, continues to track and monitor it closely. Why don't they shoot the damn thing down? You know darn good and well, if we flew a balloon over Russia this way or over China this way, they'd shoot it down. They would have no qualms about shooting it down. But it says the balloon is currently traveling at an altitude way above, well above commercial air traffic and does not present a military or physical threat to people on the ground. Instances of this kind of balloon activity have been observed previously over the past few years. Once the balloon was detected, the U.S. government acted immediately to protect against the collection of sensitive information. It doesn't tell how they did that. So did they do that? Did they actually act immediately to protect against the collection of sensitive information? And how'd they do that? The surveillance balloon is believed to belong to the People's Republic of China. Now, the People's Republic of China has denied it. But they also said, yeah, it's ours. A senior intelligence officer with the U.S. Department of Defense said during the press briefing that the U.S. military was weighing options to shoot it down. Wow, how about that? The surveillance balloon, to shoot down the surveillance balloon when it was spotted in Montana on Wednesday. Now, Montana has a bunch of bases up there. But the article said, you did see reports yesterday of a ground stop at Billings Airport and the mobilization of a number of assets, including F-22. The context for that was that we put some things on station in the event that a decision was made to bring this down while it was over Montana. They should have done this. So we wanted to make sure we were coordinating with civil authorities to empty out the air from the potential area. But even with those protective measures taken, it was the judgment of our military commanders that we didn't drive the risk down low enough, so we didn't take the shot, the official said. During a Wednesday meeting between U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and senior DOD officials, it was decided that the risk to public safety was too high to bring down a balloon. Okay, what was it supposed to do? Kill a bunch of people when it hit them? But it said that the risk to public safety was too high if they were to shoot the surveillance balloon down, and military action would not be taken, according to Fox News. The U.S. military has been tracking the balloon since it entered into U.S. airspace a couple of days ago, according to a senior official with the DOD. The U.S. military, while the official said the balloon reportedly poses no threat to the safety of U.S. citizens, it is believed to be gathering sensitive information. Well, to me, that's a threat. That's a threat to not only the citizens of this country, but a threat to this country itself. Republican legislators and conservative commentators slammed the Biden administration for their weak response in acting as if the Chinese surveillance balloon was no big deal. Concerns were also raised about the Canadian government giving no warning to the U.S. that a Chinese surveillance balloon was headed towards U.S. airspace. So now we're depending on Canada. Okay. I thought America had such a great military and a great airspace that nothing could get through. But apparently, balloons can, especially if they're from the Chinese Communist Party. Are we insane, folks? The idea is that we are keeping all of this stuff over our nation in order that we don't infuriate the Chinese, apparently, is insane at best. And the things that, I don't know, this is really getting my goat. If you love America, we need to start defending America. Plain and simple. Because if we don't, we're going to lose this country faster than anybody ever thought possible. We're coming up on the top of the hour right now. I've got a couple more minutes before it actually starts. But with the second hour, I want to talk about this shooting of a GOP lawmaker killing her in New Jersey. I looked, when I found this, I did this in one of my updates on yesterday, actually. And in that update, I talked about how I had looked and searched through the media, everything that I could get, you know, like from CNN, MSNBC, Newsmax, One America News, Breitbart. I looked through it all. Only one channel covered anything about it, and that was Newsmax. Of course, they're the ones who are being taken out right at the moment. But according to what's going on now, the FBI is now involved in the investigation of the GOP lawmaker's death. As it's revealed, she was shot 7 times in the head. Yet the media is totally silent about this. The media is keeping quiet about this. They don't want to say a damn thing about this. And it's like I said in my update, which I will play the beginning part of that. I call my updates, daily updates, removing the liberal blindfold. And I start with an article, and this article came from, I can't remember where the heck I got the article from right now, but I listed, I think it was Western Journal. But I'll play that when we get back from the break at the top of the hour. We will be right back.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico and CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, yesterday I did my update, and it was about this New Jersey representative who was killed, and at that point in time it was listed as a targeted killing. But here's what I said yesterday on my update.
A Republican member of a New Jersey borough council was shot and killed Wednesday night near her residence. Council member Eunice Dwumfor of Sayreville, New Jersey, was found shot multiple times in her vehicle just outside the apartment complex where she lived, according to WABC-TV. Police said that the vehicle crashed after Dwumfor was shot. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Mayor Victoria Kilpatrick, in a statement, according to NewJersey.com, said, quote, Eunice was a dedicated member of our borough council who was truly committed to serve our residents. The fact that she was taken from us by the despicable criminal act makes this incident all the more horrifying. Beyond her dedication to the community, I can share that she was a woman of deep faith and worked hard to integrate her strong Christian beliefs into her daily life as a person and a community leader, unquote. Police said she was the target of an attack, WABC reported. Community organizer Charlie Prattaville called her killing a targeted attack. Police are investigating, but so far they are unaware of a motive in the shooting. According to RLS Media, witnesses said the shooter fled towards a nearby Garden State Parkway. Dwumfor was elected to the council in 2021. She worked as an IT professional, according to WNBC. She served as a director of churches for the Champions Royal Assembly, which is based in Nigeria, according to the Daily Mail. Dwumfor was a member of Sayreville's Human Relations Commission, according to NJD.com. Commission member Mahesh Chitnis said, according to the New York Post, quote, "She was shot while returning back home. She was a woman full of life. Eunice, rest in peace, my friend. I am shocked and scared and heartbroken." Sayreville Republican Chair Karen Bailey Biebert said Dwumfor, quote, "was the embodiment of Sayreville, living the American dream, overcoming challenges with grit and a smile," unquote. And this was according to the Daily Mail. She continued by saying, "and always giving of time and love to others. She embodied Sayreville and will be terribly missed by all who were fortunate enough to know her," unquote. And now we'll remove the liberal blindfold. I have been watching the media today and so far have seen nothing about this horrific killing of a patriot of America. In that, I am not surprised. It means nothing to them except the giving out of news that, quote, "no new documents were found at Biden's Rehoboth Beach House," which brings up another question. Why weren't these raids on the president's homes and offices and garages not done at the same time? This just gives them time to find a way to hide what may have been there. We'll never know.
Okay, that was from my update from yesterday. I didn't record the whole thing. But today, I found an article on this, and it says the FBI is now involved in the investigation of GOP lawmaker's death as it's revealed she was shot 7 times in the head. The FBI is involved in the investigation. This came from Western Journal today. In the investigation of the murder of New Jersey Republican council member who was killed Wednesday evening, according to WABC, Eunice Dwumfor, a member of the Borough Council of Sayreville near New York City, was shot in her vehicle near her townhouse at 7:30 p.m. "We are aware of the investigation into the death of Councilwoman Dwumfor in Sayreville Wednesday evening," the FBI said in a statement WABC reported Friday. "We talked with our local law enforcement partners at Sayreville Police Department and the Middlesex County Prosecutor's Office," it said. "Should they ask us for any assistance, we will do all we can to help with their investigations." Witnesses said they might have seen an individual running from the area in which Dwumfor was killed towards the Garden State Parkway, which was announced yesterday on my update, WABC reported. No motive for the killing has been determined. Pastor Nelia Rodriguez, a friend of Dwumfor, said Thursday on Fox News show on the Ingraham Engel that Dwumfor's shooting was a targeted personal attack. "We believe it was very personal because she was shot 7 times in the face and another 7 shots were hitting everywhere else. So for somebody to get so close to somebody and shoot them so many times, it has to be personal," she said. "Do you think there was a political motive to this killing?" Probably. Rodriguez said there was probably not an answer for why Dwumfor was killed. "Why should somebody do that? Somebody who has no heart, somebody who has no love for community or country for that matter, somebody who could have been jealous. It could have been many reasons for why somebody would hurt somebody like her, who was such a beautiful soul, who loved everybody and always smiled," she said. "She never said no. She would take her jacket off to give it to you if you needed it. Her soul was so beautiful. She was such a light to everybody in the community that is horrifying to even think of anybody trying to hurt her," Rodriguez said. The report in the UK's Daily Mail said Dwumfor was living with her 12-year-old daughter from a former marriage who had married a pastor who lives in Nigeria in late November. Dwumfor's former campaign manager, Kelly Bailey Biebert, told WABC that she did not think any clouds were hovering over Dwumfor's life. Well, apparently, there were. Said she was happy with her new husband, it seems happy with her daughter, and she was living the life, the American dream. She was a beautiful, motivated person who did very well in the community. I believe her daughter lit up her life. Jesus Christ lit up her life. She was very faithful and driven. She was a shining star. According to New Brunswick Today, Dwumpor was a pastor at the Champions Royal Assembly, an African church that had a location in Newark. Eunice was a dedicated member of our borough council who was truly committed to serve our residents, Mayor Victoria Kilpatrick said in a statement according to NJ.com. The fact she was taken from us by this despicable criminal act makes this incident all the more horrifying. Beyond her dedication to the community, I can share that she was a woman of deep faith and worked hard to integrate her strong Christian beliefs into her daily life as a person and a community leader. Dwumpor was elected to the council in 2021. She worked as an IT professional, according to WNBC. Now, this is something that really caught my attention because of how horrible this killing was. And I hope that my mic is still working. But this article that I just read was actually something that I had found yesterday, and then it kind of carried on through today, which has the article that mentioned the seven shots to the head. Yesterday's article, when I was doing the update, didn't mention any of this. It just said that she had been shot. Didn't say where, didn't say how many times, and it didn't say that the person had actually been seen, but it did mention that the person had been seen running away towards the expressway. So this is kind of one of those things that it's like bringing a boy says that person has a lot of anger. Apparently so. Shooting somebody in the head seven times. For one thing, they had to have gotten pretty close to group seven shots that close. So it kind of makes you wonder. Another article that I had found was on the Biden administration, and it's from the Daily Caller that I found this, from the Biden administration rethinks signature climate policy after major blowback. Which to me is one of these things that is great when Biden has major blowback on something that he is doing. To me, this is great. That means people are watching what he's doing. They are getting pissed off about what he's doing, and they're saying stuff. So apparently, he does listen if the blowback is hard enough. But the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, or the SEC, is planning to scale back proposed rules mandating that companies disclose climate-related data alongside traditional financial reporting after the agency was surprised by major blowback from selected groups. The Wall Street Journal reported Friday, citing people close to the agency. The proposed rules, announced in March of 2022, would require companies to include data about both the way climate change might harm their business and the effect that their businesses might have on the environment and via greenhouse gas emissions, according to the SEC Gov News. However, the plan was criticized by companies, investors, and lawmakers for implementing onerous reporting rules and even pared down the regulations are enacted expected to face legal challenges. The WSJ reported this, and the finalized version of the rules will likely require some climate disclosures, but would raise the threshold for climate costs. Now, the thing that really bothers me about all this is the same, is the stuff that I talked about earlier. Back in the 80s and the 70s, you very seldom saw clean air without smog hanging somewhere. It's like Bringing It Boy in the chat room said in the 80s, he couldn't see the mountains from his house, from where he is. Now he can, which means, hey, you people who are pushing all this climate stuff that we're going to all die if we don't change everything. Hey, guys, the air has been cleared up. It has been clean. It still may not be perfect, but as long as there's humans out here, as long as there's people alive or animals alive on this planet, it's never going to be perfect. But right now, it's cleaner than it was in the 70s and 80s and 90s. So we're still going to go with your ideas that we're killing the whole planet, that nothing is going to survive unless we do everything your way? And with Davos, we saw that your way is having a bunch of people flying to Davos on their private jets so they can get together and say, oh, the world is being destroyed by emissions that the people are doing. Not us, because we're here trying to stop this from happening, even though they flew there in their private jets, which gives them a bigger carbon footprint than any of us. See how this thing works? Yeah, Bringing It Boy says on that, about that last article, that the police had shot a double amputee nameless person 10 times because he was a match to a stabbing the day before here in Los Angeles. See, there are so many things going on right now. And a lot of this stuff, like what he said about the police shooting a double amputee homeless person 10 times because he is a match to a stabbing the day before. The police right now have so much that they have to think about because of the way things have been going with the defund the police movements and Black Lives Matter and all these stupid groups that are out against them. They know that no matter what they do, they're going to do something that's going to cause one of these groups to come up and say, oh my gosh, he shot this person. He is a murderer. And they're going to make mistakes because of this. Don't people understand that the police, a policeman's job is hard enough without all this bullshit that they've been pushing on them? I used to want to be a cop. I wouldn't be a cop for all the money in the world right now because of what these groups are doing to the police. They have to keep a sane mind about what everything that's going on, yet everybody is against them and everything that they do. How can they do anything right? And then when they have somebody that matches a stabbing person, we have no idea what this guy was doing. Maybe he had a toy gun in his hand. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about this. Maybe he had a toy gun in his hand and he pointed it at the officers. That would actually give them reason to shoot. 10 times? I don't know. But it's like I was talking about this thing that happened in Tennessee with this Tyree kid that was beat to death by these five black officers. The The left is trying to make this all about race right now, and it's not. They're trying to make it all about training, and it's not. Dan Bongino had a thing the other day, and I had it in this see if I can get it back on here, see if I can get it to add. But I had this on my last show in my audio files. And it is something that Dan Bongino said that just really put this whole thing into perspective. Because he said that they're trying to make this out to be a training issue. This was not a training issue. They're not trained to do this. They are not trained to do this. And it just, it's amazing to think that they could, but here's what Dan Bongino said the other day about this.
Well, I intentionally didn't do any media on this, even in my own accounts, social or my shows, or even this network last night, because I wanted to wait to comment until I actually watched the video multiple times, saw multiple angles, and, you know, haven't done this job, haven't been a street cop in the 75 precinct in East New York, Brooklyn, one of the most dangerous in the country. You know, I've been there and hundreds of traffic stops and foot pursuits, so I've seen it and I know exactly what it feels like to walk up on a car. I waited to comment because I'm trying to find any legitimate rational reason that the situation was handled the way it was. There's been a lot of commentary on this about training and other things, and I don't get where that comes from. You think anyone was trained to do this? This isn't a training issue, guys. I was actually a trainer in the Secret Service Law Enforcement Academy and went through the NYPD Academy twice in the cadet program and a cop, and the Secret Service Academy and the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center down in Glynn County, Georgia. Nobody is trained to do this. This is not a training issue. This is a personnel issue. These guys are just bad guys. Who does this? Listen, guys, there is no attempt in this situation. And again, I've been there. I've done this. I've watched this video now probably 10 times. There is no attempt at all at any point in this scenario to de-escalate. None. Zero. Keep in mind as well, this is not a one-on-one. You have multiple men here who significantly outweigh this guy. And listen, I get it. I once watched two ESU cops, SWAT cops, in a hospital in Brooklyn nearly get taken out by a 13-year-old young girl. So people do get, the adrenaline rush that happens in these kind of stressful situations, as Peach has said, is very real. But again, there doesn't appear to be any attempt whatsoever to de-escalate and lower the adrenaline level. I've got a couple more points to make here. Listen, as conservatives and libertarians, and as any sane, rational lover of this country, it is our duty, no matter who we're looking at in this video, a cop, a civilian, or anyone else, to defend everyone's God-given rights. God-given rights. The Constitution just protects what God gave you. I'm not really sure that these cops understood that with this guy. I mean, what, I don't understand what he did. They're saying reckless driving. Why are you yanking him out of the car then? Mm-hmm. Where's your license? Well, you know, can we see your license, sir? We pulled you over for reckless driving. You know, where? I don't understand where any of that is. Wait, a couple other things here. And this is important. All the police officers out there I know that are good and decent people, you know this, and don't ever forget this. We are not vigilantes. This isn't freaking Judge Dredd, okay? We are paid to do a job. We are that thin crust on a volcano, as that old adage goes, and we keep civilization along with our military internationally intact, okay? When those handcuffs are on or that subject stops resisting, that fight, damn it, it's over, man. That fight is over. That is not your fight anymore. That's not your fight anymore. It is for the judge and the judicial system and a jury, or if that he decides to plea and get a lawyer at that point, that is the purpose of a legal system. We are not animals. We are not savages. We don't beat the living out of people to make a point.
And that's something that the media is not even talking about. The other thing that he mentioned was that this group that the Tennessee Memphis has now gotten rid of, he said that it would be a bad thing to get rid of this group. Get rid of the men who are in it who don't do what they should be doing, like these five, six or seven now that they've added a few white people in there so they could actually make it racist. But this whole thing is not a training issue. Just like Bongino said, it's not a training issue. Nobody was trained to do this. Nobody is trained to beat the crap out of somebody until they die. This is not what they're there for. And that was not their job. That is not what they were supposed to do. Thank God they were all fired. This was the right thing to do. Bringing a voice says it was to do a child sex slave ring operation for that guy to die. That very well could be. We don't know. And the way that they are covering things up now, it's hard to know what the truth is anymore. And one of these days, something's going to happen to where these groups, like Newsmax, this almost 2 weeks ago now, got taken off of DirecTV. They haven't been put back on yet. So there's 13 million people who watched Newsmax who can't watch it now. So they got to figure out other ways to do it. So what are they doing? They're taking all the voices out that give us the news as it should be given and keeping the ones that just spin the news and give it to us the way that they want it to be. All these places like Newsmax and One America News and Breitbart, they're all being targeted to be gotten rid of so that the left doesn't have to worry about their agenda being destroyed by the truth. And Bringing It Boy says one of the cops's ex-wife was seeing that guy killed, and there's a lot more. Well, this is something that I think is gonna have. We're going to see a lot more come out about this thing. As long as there are news medias out there that will try to get it out there, because there are people who will want to know. Yeah, and Biden wants the state police to be federal police. That would be an absolute mistake. Federal police are under his jurisdiction. State police are not. There's the reason why he doesn't want that. He wants to get rid of the state police because they're not under his jurisdiction. They're under the governors of the states. Now, if there are federal police, then they're under his jurisdiction. They really aren't, but he will think they are. And the socialist leftists in our government would think they are. One of the articles that I found, and this was pretty interesting, you know how we keep hearing about how socialist Maxine Waters is? And this is one that I found interesting because the headline on it is Maxine Waters denies she's a socialist, but then Chip Roy quotes her own words right to her face. She didn't like that. She hated that. But there are many downsides to being a generally over-chatty person like Democrat Representative Maxine Waters. She is too chatty. She is constantly telling people to get in their faces, to make sure that they can't go into restaurants. But she says, your excess words may minimize slavery. Your excess words may incite violence. And your excess words may peddle lies that have long since been debunked. She does all three. But worst of all, your excess words might very well come back to shoot you in the foot. In case in point, Waters recently suffered a metaphorical bullet wound to her foot after a confrontation with a GOP representative, Chip Roy, during a discussion about denouncing the horrors of socialism by the House committee on Tuesday. The exchange certainly starts off innocently enough. Roy begins by recalling an op-ed written by a Democrat voter from Cuba using it to skewer Waters' past support for socialism. Roy said, quote, this voter, essentially pointing out the extent to which the democratic socialism is a lot like the system my family fled, except its proponents promised to be nicer when seizing your business. And that's the truth, unquote. The representative from Texas then proceeded to bring up a different quote, this time plucking from Waters' ever excessive verbiage. Quote, Ranking Member Waters in a 2008 hearing said, quote, and guess what this liberal will be all about. This liberal will be all about socializing, would be about basically taking over the government and the government running all of your companies. End quote. Simple question. Do you stand by this statement? Roy asked. Simple answer. Waters begins before proceeding to provide an answer that is quite literally anything but. She says, quote, I am here today in this rules committee because we're taking up time with basically a non-issue. First of all, you claim that socialism has engulfed this country, that it keeps creeping, it's going to take over private businesses, et cetera, et cetera. That's not happening. We're in a democracy that we're trying very much to save and not have disrupted, undermined in the way that at this point, Roy obviously fed up with Waters' excess word salad. And we've heard this one before when it comes to like Karine Jean-Pierre. She puts out word salads. Vice President Harris. Word salads all over the place. But he simply asks her again to disavow her prior 2008 statements. Waters said, I'm not a socialist. I'm a capitalist. And I commit to you that I am here to save Social Security, to save Medicare, to save seniors and veterans for some of you who have adopted certain kinds of ways that you support, that you now claim as socialism. I'm here to say to you, come on. Now, that sounds like Biden there. Come on, man. It's at this point that Roy once again presents Waters with her own words to her. Quote, so this liberal will be all about socializing, will be all about basically taking over and the government running all your business companies. You disagree with that? You now denounce that statement, Roy asked. Waters said, I'm not a socialist. Yes, she is. Roy appeared to accept Waters' answer at this point, but not without having embarrassingly exposed her and her values. Imagine how much differently this entire exchange would have gone had Waters not had the interminable habit of overtalking. Fortunately for her detractors, Waters does have a habit of overtalking, which means clips like the one above will likely be in never short supply. And the question in the article is, do you think Maxine Waters is a socialist? And I answered yes. And 100% of the people, or 2,658 votes, said yes. No, 11 votes. So you can see where that one is sitting. I just absolutely love the way Harris and Jean-Pierre for 2024, oh my God, that would be That would be one horrible president and vice president. But so which one would be president? Harris or Jean-Pierre? Which one would be better as president? I don't know. We are in the process. I think I went beyond what I need to do. I'll be right back with my last part of my show.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that I and the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call I and the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call I and the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is I in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at iinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM, and see what happens then, where America always wins.
From Western Journal is about Jimmy Kimmel, who attempted to humiliate Mike Lindell by putting him in an arcade machine, but didn't work out the way that Kimmel wanted it to. Unfunny comedy is painful to watch. Leftist propaganda, unfunny comedy is even worse. ABC's late night host, unfunny comedian Jimmy Kimmel, is an example of what happens when talking points are substituted for punchlines. On Tuesday, Kimmel thought that he had a great opportunity to mock MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell in person on his show, Jimmy Kimmel Live. At Kimmel's request, Lindell appeared for the interview inside an Arcadia claw machine filled with stuffed animals. It appears Kimmel assumed the prop would enhance the shtick planned to hurl at Lindell. Instead, Kimmel's stunt came across as contrived and poorly conceived. Lindell transcended the setting with good humor and good sense, not at all diminished by the gimmick. In November 2022, Kimmel admitted his choice to offer leftism instead of laughs hurt his career. I've lost half of my fans, maybe more than that, he said. Kimmel wasn't joking about that. Forbes noted in October 2022, the ratings for Jimmy Kimmel Live were the lowest of the big-name late show hosts. He lost out to Fox's Gutfield, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on CBS, and NBC's Tonight Show. This is disturbing stuff. According to USA Today, Lindell and Kimmel started feuding in 2021 over Lindell's concerns about the integrity of the 2020 presidential election. Well, there's been a lot of us who have talked about that. I am one of them. I'm surprised I'm still here. But Right America wins. It's the United States that loses. Okay. Lindell observed that in the monologues, the late night host did his bit to support the usual leftist narratives by presenting Lindell and by extension all dissenters as crazy or stupid. Lindell observed back on his own streaming show, Jimmy, your jokes are not funny anymore because you know what? People have common sense now. He ultimately appeared in person on Kimmel's show in April of 2021. On Tuesday, the two had a rematch, and Lindell's comment remains accurate. Kimmel's jokes were not funny, and the claw machine gimmick defied common sense. The problem is Kimmel fell into the fallacy of mistaking a straw man caricature manufactured by the establishment media talking points for the actual person he was attacking. From the most likely prescripted questions Kimmel asked Lindell, it is evident the leftist narrative being pushed is Crazy Mike Lindell is afraid of machines. This is a patronizing misdirection away from Lindell's very serious claims that America's voting machines and therefore our elections are insecure and unreliable. Arizona's debacle of an election in November is just the latest evidence of this crisis. In Maricopa County, voting machines were heavily Republican areas had excessive malfunctions on election day. Of course, nothing's been done about that, but it's still an ongoing thing. Kimmel's role here was to make Lindell seem deranged. Why don't people take you seriously? Asked the host, who requested the guest appear in a booth surrounded by toys, would not stop pushing the fear of machine themes. Mike, I know you're distrustful of machines. Now that you're inside one, do you feel differently? Kimmel asked. Later he asked, does that extend to, like, sewing machines? Yeah, tell me. Like, what about ice machines? Are you okay with those? Instead, sports personality wants, the audience barely responded to the jabs. Instead, Lindell easily turned Kimmel's awkward insults into opportunities to explain his position. You can make fun of that, he said, but we know that the machines I'm talking about are voting machines, computers used in elections because we want to have elections and not selections, he said. This was after Lindell demolished the claw machine gag right at the start of the interview. Remember when we were kids, he said, and we questioned those carnival games, whether or not they were rigged or not. But when we spoke up back then, we didn't get sued, did we? The entrepreneur, and I could never get that word, termed the activist as being sued for defamation by Dominion after questioning the accuracy of its voting machines results in the 2020 election. Well, the men in suits are listening. Yay! And if they're listening, I'll say right now, I was questioning the results of the 2020 election. I was questioning Dominion voting machines, which were used here in New Mexico. Lindell tossed toys to a boy pretending to play with the claw machine, observing, "It's a rigged game." Even Kimmel admitted the claw machine was a misfire. His attempt to humiliate Lindell failed. "To be honest, I don't even remember why I decided you should be in there. It seems like a good idea when it happened," the late-night host said. Lindell said that he had been told he was in the machine for a bit about vaccination rather than voting machines. "You tricked me. You did it to be funny, huh?" he told Kimmel. "I have to say, I was very surprised when you said you'd do it," Kimmel said. Did Mike get the best of this exchange? I think he did. Later in the segment, when James Ottomian came out portraying a crude caricature of Lindell as a hysterical psycho, the discrepancy between the straw man Lindell and the real man was even more evident. Besides the mustache, there was little resemblance between Lindell appearing poised, laughing, and in command of the conversation, and the actor playing him as an idiot in full meltdown mode. Lindell celebrated the outcome of the interview on his Truth Social account. The top YouTube comments on the Jimmy Kimmel Live post expressed appreciation for the interaction. Of course it did, because on YouTube, they're all liberals, don't you know? "As much as we disagree about most things, we can laugh together. We can love together," one person said. "Like him or not, he knows how to have fun, even at the expense of himself. And you can if you can laugh at yourself, life is just a little bit easier for all of us. This was hilarious." Another said, "Wow, this was brilliant. Lots of life lessons here in the fact that two people with polar opposite worldviews are still able to come together, laugh, and not take things so seriously." Overall, the commenters credited Lindell on his performance, but gave more credit to Kimmel and the whole establishment media than was warranted. Their hostility to American values and patriots is ingrained and systemic. Now, we've heard that word before, haven't we? Something that the left is always calling us. We're systemic racists. But this, what they're doing, is ingrained and systemic on everything they do. But the sentiment of the reconciliation is sound and will be vital for the future. Lindell has made it clear he gives the glory to God for his salvation, and that's why he is such a brave warrior for our freedom and rights. It's ironic. Kimmel's goofy setup let Lindell seamlessly bring up the topic of cheating machinery. Lindell got the last laugh in that interview, after all. I found another one in WND that talked about our children. Two Fridays ago, I did a two-hour show. Only half of it showed up. The second hour disappeared. I didn't do anything to my microphone, which is what made me wonder what was going on, because my mic was working up until I played the intro for the second hour, then nothing. But one of the things that I found today, and early this morning, was a survey that was given to students, said that 57% of students are afraid to express their views in class. I could have told you this was coming, and it's going to get worse. A new survey reveals that most of the students who participated in a free speech assessment at the University of Wisconsin confirmed they fear expressing their views on some topics because other students will disagree or it could hurt their grades. WMTV reported a full one-third said they felt pressure from an instructor to agree with a certain viewpoint, whether they agreed with it or not. "I want the University of Wisconsin system to be looked upon as a beacon across the country where people want to go if free speech rights are very important to them," Republican State Representative David Murphy, chairman of the Assembly University Committee, said in the report. The results were discussed at EW Oshkosh. K-12 Campus speech has become a battleground in recent years as leftist students disrupt conservative speakers, and they did it here with Tommy Lahren when she came here to speak at the University of New Mexico. They disrupted her to the point where she had to completely leave. They tried to do the same thing with Charlie Kirk, but he went and spoke anyway. And he actually showed pictures, had his people who were filming the whole thing, showed pictures of all these moronic protesters outside throwing hissy fits because they were outside. They couldn't get in to cause and disrupt the speech that he was given. Campus speech, like I started out saying, has become a battleground in recent years, and it happened here as leftist students disrupt conservative speakers, student clubs, and more. Their stated perspective is that those who disagree with the leftist ideology simply do not have free speech and should not be allowed. That's what they did to Tommy Lahren here. As a result, Republicans have pressured universities to protect free speech and crack down on students who disrupt conservative speakers, the report said. The survey was done by E.W. Stout's Menard Center for Public Policy and Service and involved undergraduates at all 13 campuses. The survey was funded partly from a donation from the family that founded Menards, a chain of home improvement centers, and it was controversial even before it went out. The report exclaimed EU Whitewater interim Chancellor Jim Henderson was so incensed with plans for the survey that he resigned over it in April. He said then that he was upset over then interim system president Michael Thalbo's decision to send out the survey after initially deciding that the institutions wouldn't do it. He accused Thalbo of changing his mind because he feared political consequences from Republican lawmakers concerned about campus leaders stamping out conservative viewpoints. Now, we get a liberal who is talking like that. Who is the one who is trying to stamp out who? Almost 50% of the respondents, which included thousands of students, and there have been times they've wanted to express their opinion on a controversial topic but remain silent. 60% said that they feared other students would disagree, and 31% said they worried someone would file a complaint targeting them. About 40% said they were afraid their grades would suffer if they spoke up. Three-fourths of those students identified themselves as very conservative, the report said. 37% said they felt pressured from an instructor to agree with a specific viewpoint, whether they agreed or not. Constitutional expert noted commentator and law professor Jonathan Turley said, it is only the latest such poll on how the orthodoxy and the intolerance of higher education is having a chilling effect on student speech and class discussions. He continued, these polls are an indictment of the entire teaching academy. We have converted our universities into echo chambers reflecting overwhelmingly and sometimes virtually exclusively liberal facilities or faculties. When these polls are raised, faculties often shrug off the concern for free speech and the complaints of rising viewpoint intolerance. It simply does not seem to matter that the vast majority of our students are consistently polling as being afraid to speak openly in classes. Folks, this is scary. He also noted the response that is developing. This latest poll comes as states are moving to use the power of the purse to force greater choice in education and diversity on faculties. This is a state school system, and the legislature has every reason to seek measures to address the lack of intellectual diversity. There's that word again. I hate that word. and tolerance on campuses or reduce the level of state funding for these schools. What they need to do, and this has been put out here now in the Republican House, there have been several things that have been put out. One of them is to defund schools that push things like Black Lives Matter agenda, racist agenda, critical race theory. These are all things that should be taken out of our schools. Whatever happened to reading, writing, and arithmetic? I guess they decided that you don't need to read anymore. All you need to know is that critical race theory is the thing that we need to adhere to, even though all it is a theory. A theory that has been debunked many times, but they're still pushing it. I'm just thankful right now that I have no children in school, because if I did, I'd pull them out. Because our schools are going to hell in a handbasket as long as they're trying to teach our students that CRT is a fact of life. If it was a fact of life, it wouldn't be called critical race theory. A theory is a theory. It's not proven fact. It's not proven anything. It's a theory. It's something that somebody came up with and decided, this is something that I think we should do. It hasn't been pushed as the facts. It's just a theory. It hasn't been proven as a fact. It's just a theory. And they're pushing this on our kids. When will we learn? This is something that we need to stop and think about, because the lives of our children, folks, are on the line. Our children are being taught to go against everything that is right, go against everything that has been proven right. And I've got a phone call here, and I'm right at the end of my show, so I'm not really sure if I can I can answer anything right now, because my show is about to end. We've got about 30 seconds left, so I'm sorry I can't answer the phone right now, but if you call back in on my next show, and I'll get to you. But I thank Bringing It Boy for being in the chat room and giving me all kinds of things to talk about. And I will talk to you all starting tomorrow with my updates, and then back on Friday this next week, I will be back with my next show. God bless you. God bless our troops. God bless America. And I'll see you next week. Have a great week. One of the things that just happened was I had somebody call in, and I'd noticed it was from the 91909 area code, and Bringing It Boy said it was his wife calling in. If she'll call back in, I will take the call. It will be a part of the show that will not be heard. I just told him to tell her to call back in because he's not hearing anything I'm saying right now, even though he's in the chat room. I'll see if she calls in. If she doesn't in a few minutes, then I will go ahead and end the show. But this woman is somebody who knows the Constitution. She is somebody who is a great person to talk to. I've been trying to get her to call back in for a while, and she finally calls back in just before the show ends. I'll see if hopefully she'll call back in. If she does, then I can continue the show. This would be a good opportunity to hear the ideals of someone who knows the Constitution. Sparkle Joy just showed up in the chat room. But if she doesn't call back in a couple minutes, then I'll go ahead and end the show. But if she calls back in, I will be here again next week. That would be a great thing to have her call, if possible. But I'm not sure if she's going to call back. But if she does, then I will stick around for a few more minutes. One of the things that I have tried to talk about on this show is the Constitution. I really like getting someone in here who calls in, who knows what the Constitution is about. And if I can get them to call back. I just ask again if she's going to call back. But if I can get people like her and Douglas B. Gibbs to call back or call in this show and give us some ideas on what the Constitution stands for and what the reasons why it has to be pushed as the law of the land, which it is, then that would be good information for everyone. Because we have a whole sect of people in this country right now who are trying to destroy our Constitution, trying to destroy what this country stands for. And until we can start getting people to know what the Constitution actually stands for, this trend will continue. And it doesn't look like she's going to call back, but hopefully I can get her to call back next week. And I will go ahead. I guess she isn't going to call back in, but I'll go ahead and end the show now. And I will restart my ending theme. And like I was saying before, God bless America. God bless our troops. And God bless us all. Have a great weekend and a great week to come. I'll talk to you later. God bless you all.
Thank you.
God bless you all.